This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Ryssdal. In no particular order, it is going to be inflation, consumers, the Fed and the politics of this economy, and then the straight-up politics of this economy, plus whatever we think of on the fly in the next 7 minutes. Kate Davidson's at Bloomberg, Gina Smilek's at the New York Times. Hey, you two.
Hey, Kai.
Hey, Kai.
Kate, let me start with you and inflation. So I guess we are doing it in that order. Consumer Price Index came out this week. Producer Price Index came out today. We'll talk about both of those later with Kimberly Adams. But generally speaking, inflation seems to be getting a little bit sticky. And I wonder what you make of that.
Yeah, so we certainly saw that the CPI report, which is the big one that I think that most people focus on and are aware of, accelerated last month. You know, it was on the decline for much of 2023. What to make of this? It was largely in line with what forecasters expected. You know, the boost was kind of due to stubborn services costs, things like housing and car insurance. So to your point, yeah, a little bit sticky. I think that Cleveland Fed President Loretta Mester, she tends to be more hawkish and sort of wary of these stubborn price pressures. She sort of summed it up as like, this doesn't necessarily suggest that there's some reacceleration in inflation, but it definitely underscores that the Fed's work isn't done, right? They still have to kind of wring out some of these price pressures in the economy. So if we think about what Chair Jay Powell has said, like the path is going to be bumpy. So this was a bump for sure. PPI, which is producer prices, a little bit better. It decreased for a third straight month. So that, you know, just prompted investors to kind of boost bets on the Fed cutting interest rates sooner rather than later, despite their repeated attempts to say, no, 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 we're not in a rush here.
That's so interesting. Gina Smilek discussed that little bit, the last bit of what Kate said right there, that Fed, you know, markets are now saying, yeah, Fed's going to keep on cutting. I think Jay Powell looks at this and goes, I don't know.
Yeah, you know, I think it's probably actually a bit of an open question at this stage. I mean, it's important to note that for this report, which, as Kate mentioned, was kind of in line. I mean, like, I don't think this was a huge surprise anybody at the Fed. And so I think even before this report came out, I think we were hearing a lot of pushback on this narrative that had developed in markets, which was that, oh my gosh, they're definitely going to cut in March. You know, and I think Fed officials were very clearly trying to tell investors that they had gotten out over their skis. They were feeling way too confident about that. And they weren't even confidently ready to say that they were done raising rates yet, let alone guarantee they were going to be cutting rates in March. And so I think we're at this juncture where, like, a lot of things can happen between now and that March meeting. You know, I think we're expecting a pretty soft print on their preferred inflation index, the personal consumption expenditures gauge. That could be a really soft print. We could get a soft print on that number before we have that meeting. You know, things could happen. That said, you know, I think it's pretty clear that the Fed does not want to commit to cutting at that meeting, and in some ways wants to sort of, you know, tamp down expectations for that move.
Right, right. Kate, can we talk about consumers for a second? The New York Fed was out with its survey of consumer expectations this week. Generally speaking, regarding inflation, consumers are feeling all right. Generally, in the vibe sense, they're feeling okay. That's a positive change.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at other measures of consumer sentiment, University of Michigan, for example, the Conference Board, other people that track these things, it's been looking kind of, you know, dour. If you compare it to the economic data, right, it seems like things are fairly sturdy. And that's been such a big question. Why are consumers feeling so lousy? But then we had this report on Monday, which was, pretty good. It was year ahead inflation expectations dropped to the lowest level since January of 2021. That's, you know, largely reflected a pullback in expectations for inflation for food and rent, expectations for gas prices stabilized. That's all good. But people who responded to the survey were also more upbeat about the jobs market. Yeah. They said they expected looser credit conditions. So these are kind of not things that you would expect to see among, Americans who are bracing for recession, for example, right? Clearly suggests that they're feeling pretty good. So I guess the question, maybe it makes a little bit more sense if you look at things like consumer spending, which has been so strong. That's been a bit of a puzzle. If people feel so bad, why are they still spending money? But this maybe helps to explain it a little bit more.
Yeah, no, I think it does. Okay, Gina, the Federal Reserve, as you wrote in the paper this week, and as observers of past elections and candidates will know, the Fed is about to become a political football this year because it's going to, we believe, start cutting rates, and that will engender some politicking around it. And I guess I wonder what you think we're in for.
Yeah, so I think it's actually kind of an open question, which is what makes this so interesting. So back in 2016, rewinding the clock a bit, President Donald Trump, before he was president, when he was just candidate Trump, was pretty frequently criticizing the Fed for keeping rates too low. Mm-hmm. He was saying that Janet Yellen, who was the Fed chair at the time, was being super political because keeping rates near zero, and it was going to help out the Democrats because they were incumbent. And so that was very much his sort of line going into the election. And then he won, and he almost immediately flipped around and said, you know what, rates are going up, and I'm not happy about that, and rates should go back down, and this is, you know, like, it's bad, and we should cut rates. And so I think it's really going to be very interesting to watch this election, because currently he's saying that mortgage rates are too high, mortgage rates are painfully high, but I think you could see a world where when rate cuts start that he paints that as a political move. Not clear that that is going to happen. He hasn't done it yet, but I think it's something interesting to watch just based on the precedent of that 2016 election. So it should be make for an exciting campaign race for all of us Fed reporters out here.
Get a load of that. Exciting campaign for Fed reporters. Kate, there may or may not be a government shutdown. We don't know. Let's stipulate that shutdowns are bad in and of themselves. They get really bad when they go long. Right now, though, I think we're still in the separating from the signal from the noise phase. Yes.
Yes, it seems like the chances that some agencies will shut down a week from tomorrow lessened a little bit today. Speaker Johnson, you know, suggested he's not going to back off of these agreements that he's struck on spending levels. So probably what Congress is going to have to do is pass another temporary spending patch. I think that Johnson, you know, there's some political risks for him there, like we've seen with previous Republican speakers. You know, members of his caucus don't want him to make any sort of deal. But I think that it seems like there's a little bit more hope that something will come together. And as you said, I mean, I think that these shutdowns, they're often short. They don't often have a very big impact. And then the spending is made up later. It's not like it just goes away. It's just kind of pushed back. So I don't think that there's an expectation right now that there'll be a huge impact on the economy.
Dysfunctional as always, or Congress is with this economy, right, Kate? I mean, that's kind of the deal.
Same old, same old.
Right. Same old, same old. Kate Davidson of Bloomberg and Gina Smilek of the New York Times on this Friday. Thanks, you two.
Thanks, Kai.
Thank you.